For those of you who haven't met me, my name's Peter. I'm part of the staff team here at Southern Cross. And we're going to be reading today from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 18. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
What do you want for Christmas? Would you like something techie? Would you like a book? Some clothes? Sports gear? Buds? New coffee machine? Or just some spending money? We all want something for Christmas, don't we? There are a virtuous few of us who generally don't want anything. There are those who have been around the block 3 times in life and they really don't need anything. But does anyone really want Christmas? Now, I'm not talking about Christmas ham or the ridiculous amounts of presents that go under Christmas trees on Christmas Day. I'm talking about, do we want the first Christmas? Do we want the King, Christ, who is born at Christmas? Do we want to dwell on what it would mean for us to surrender to our King? Well, today, as we continue our Advent series at Southern Cross, we will head to the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, which is a biography of Jesus' life, to discover the world's initial response to who was King, Jesus. Do they have hearts ready to meet him? Will their hearts reject him? And what about you this morning? Well, let me introduce myself and then I'll pray. I'm Stu, I'm one of the pastors here. Somehow I find myself able to tick all the boxes in the love languages. Do you know them? I can tick the box to words of affirmation. I can tick the box to acts of service. And I can very much tick the box to gifts. I love gifts. So whenever you ask me what do I want for Christmas, there is always a really healthy list. It's probably quite appropriate to not even ask me what I want for Christmas. It stimulates my overactive mind to start to dwell on it, and then the list just gets longer and longer really, really fast. So let me pray as we turn to Matthew chapter 2. Father, we seem to know what we want, but really you do. We are restless and hungry. Would you meet us this morning with true needs? Would you humble us and prepare us, renovate the room of our hearts that our King Christ might occupy it, bringing with it contentment, joy, balance, stability, and ultimate shalom, or as we know it, peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it seemed the king of Israel, King Herod, had in his heart to meet this new King Jesus. Do you remember his request to the Magi in verse 8? He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Sounds a promising request, yet we know that request is whirling in irony and intrigue and intent. Herod's Christmas wish was deceptive and poisonous and destructive. Because not much further into the story, as the plot continues, Herod's heart of hearts is revealed in verse 16, isn't it? When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And back in verse 3 too, we'd already heard Herod was disturbed at the birth of this child. And now the veil of his heart is drawn back. History tells us Herod was an unusually violent ruler, even by the standards of the time. He killed members of his court, his own family, in order to ensure his absolute power was unchallenged. Now in verse 16, outwitted by the Magi, furious, the brutal king slaughtered all the boys under 2 in Bethlehem to ensure he eliminated that would-be ruler. It's full on, isn't it? As you would know, our country recently welcomed the new king, Charles III. And as far as warm and cordial visits go, some members of our nation were pretty chilly towards Charles. But surely it was a glowing welcome compared to the welcome that Herod offered Christ the King. Some of our nation, in their heart of hearts, couldn't even face Charles. But Herod faced his full fury against Jesus. Herod wasn't just putting up cynical comments about Jesus on X, formerly known as Twitter. Herod wasn't full of empty threats. Herod went for the jugular. Herod was shooting to kill. What about you? Do you have a heart to meet Christ, the King, at Christmas? Do we want Jesus? Do we want his rule? Do we wish to have his instruction, his oversight? Do we wish to respond to Jesus' commands for our life? Do we want him in our life? Do we want him as our king, our ruler, our sovereign? Or would we prefer to not have him on the throne in our life? Well, frightfully, King Herod's reaction to the birth of Christ can offer a picture of us too. For isn't it true, if you want to be king, as long as someone else is saying that they're royal, then only one of you has to give in. Only one person can sit on the throne. At Christmas time, we see Jesus coming along and claiming to be God, to being king of the world. And remember this, which is said in Luke's biography: "If anyone comes to me," this is Jesus' words, "if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, brother and sister, yes, even your own life. Such a person cannot be my disciple. Friends, let's be clear, this is no command to literally become hateful to your family. Jesus is rather calling for an allegiance to him that is so supreme that it makes all other commitments look weak by comparison. So this is a claim of absolute authority from Christ. It summons unconditional loyalty, and it inevitably triggers deep resentment and resistance in our hearts. This shows us one of the hidden truths of Christmas. This dark and perplexing episode of King Herod's violent lust for power can point to features of our natural resistance too. We create gods of our liking to mask our hostility to the real God who reveals himself as the absolute King. And if the Lord born at Christmas is the true God, then no one will seek him unless our hearts are supernaturally changed to want to meet and seek him. That's what Romans 5 states. As humans, we are naturally God's enemy, and that is true even of religious people. Have a listen to the late Tim Keller explain this. He says, in religion, we try to tame God, seeking to put him in debt. We do many things so that he has to bless us in the ways that we want. However, he goes on, when we read Romans chapter 1 to 5, you see the argument claims that religious people are just as hostile to the sovereignty of God as are the irreligious. They just find religious ways to express it and to hide it. So the question for us this morning is, where is the true King? Isn't that the most disturbing question possible to our human hearts, since we want at all cost to remain on the throne of our lives? We may use religion to stay on the throne, trying to put God in a position of doing our bidding because we are so righteous rather than serving him unconditionally. Or we may flee religion, pursue atheism, and loudly, like Nietzsche, claim there is no God. But either way, we are expressing our natural hostility to the lordship of the true King Christ, who is born at Christmas. So as we explore this Advent series, do you know you can't actually be neutral when it comes to Christmas? If Jesus, God in human form, was born in a cow trough, we have lost the right to be in control of our lives. Keep that in mind if you don't believe in Christianity. Question your doubts. But if you follow Jesus today, you might say, how can I reject Jesus' rule if I accept him? Haven't we been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus? But we together recognize, we see in Romans 6 to 8, that we still have a heart with residue anger and hostility to God. Until we get to the end of time, we're glorified and we get our perfect bodies and perfect souls, our hearts still live in tension. There is still a little bit of Herod in all of us. So we need to be intentional about keeping in step with the Spirit, being accountable to our Christian brothers and sisters, and being prayerful that our gentle and generous Father might humble our hearts. In this Advent series, this time of year, this Christmas season, what do you want for Christmas? What's on your wish list? Shout it out. Peace. Very good. Top of the class. What do you really want for Christmas? No, she really wants peace. Amen, sister. What other things would you hope to get in a Christmas stocking? Sorry? Books. A job? Hang glider? No? Are we noting this? Can anyone beat the hang glider? I think that's a pretty impressive Christmas gift. I'll be interested to see the photo of it under your tree. This is a list of potential Christmas gifts you might want to grab a piece of paper. This is from news.com.au. This is stuff that's trending. Birkenstocks, Arizona. Gradient ceramic 1 litre Frank Green reusable drink bottle. You can type it in your phone if you need to. A little DeLonghi coffee machine. Apple AirPods, second generation. Dyson Airwrap styler and dryer. Oral-B Pro 3000 electric toothbrush. The D9 Max robotic vacuum. Udi Original. An Udi is a combination. It's a collab between a blanket and a hoodie. Then there's the Emma foam pillow. And then, interesting, we have the hand glider here. Here from news.com.au, you hear it first here. Tandem skydive with red balloon. There's some items that are trending on the internet in Australia this Christmas. So you might like to jump online and get your hands on some of those things for your loved ones. But let me finish. I'm going to finish our time together this morning with a story about Nikki as she struggled in her journey to meet with Christ, the King of Christmas, and seeking to see him respond and take rule in her life. She had a happy, contented childhood in a sweet little town as the youngest of four sisters. With four girls in the family, times it got a bit complicated. As she got older, she wanted to be different to her sisters. They had been cooperative students at school, tried to help at home, but she didn't want that. She would drink and smoke in an attempt to stand out. Then one by one, as the sisters became adults, they become followers of Jesus. Nikki thought they were completely crazy. She thought of herself as more independent than they were. So for a while, she was fine with them believing what they believed, whatever made them happy, but she definitely did not need religion. But her sisters kept trying to tell her about Christ the King born at Christmas. They were nice about it, but she says, it made me feel uncomfortable. There was one particular conversation that stuck in her mind. She says, my sisters and I were talking about Christian things and she got quite upset and she said to me, the problem is unless you see this truth and this life, you'll be separated from God in hell and I don't want that for you. I love you. Nikki reflected, I think my sister had got to the point where she had tried to be soft and gentle, but she and I both knew I wasn't taking it seriously. But after she said that to me, I completely closed down. I thought, if that is what it's about, then I'm never going to turn to Christ. Then a major terror attack hit the headlines, and by this point, Nikki was working as a teacher. She continues, I was at school. It was a really busy day, but I remember putting the news on at the end of the day in the classroom. And at the end of the day, just watching the footage and feeling confused and thinking, how could anyone do that? It totally blew my mind. I remember that night it was going around and around in my head. A few days later, a friend of mine went to a church building to sit and think and see if he could find answers in the piece there. And I thought, what is the point? I couldn't make head or tail of it, and I was angry. It was in the wake of this terror attack that Nikki's sister invited her to an evangelistic course that her church was running for people to investigate the claims of Christ. Nikki had happily and easily turned down invites like this in the past, but now she had a reason to accept. She says, I was so upset with my sister that they would believe in a God who would let this happen. If there was a God, why didn't he stop it? So I thought I would go at once and tell them all how stupid they were. Once became twice, became three times. Mainly, she says, because at the time her sister was pregnant. And Nikki says she wanted to bond with the bump. Yet slowly the things she heard started to impact her too. She says, I remember writing a heap of questions down that I had about Christ. But as the time went on, a lot of questions weren't really about the things I was worried about. They were barriers. Barriers that I put up because I didn't want to believe what I was hearing. But at the same time, I was now curious. Some of the Christian leaders there were so patient and kind with me. And bit by bit, things really started to piece together in my mind. It was like Jesus walked off the pages of the Bible. The more I read it, the more I seemed what was once to me foreign language began to make sense. Jesus was starting to figure in my mind as a real person. I loved how when Jesus said something, it was happen. He was trustworthy. He loved people. I wanted to be a part of it, but I didn't want to be a part of it. It scared me, thinking about what I would have to change if I followed him. So I actually did the course again the next year. I started to read the Bible for myself, just a little bit in the morning, and then whenever. I got to the stage where I understood the message about Jesus and I thought it was real, but I still didn't want to commit. How about you? Are you ready to commit to Christ this Christmas? Now, what are you waiting for? For Nikki, she was scared of what would it mean for me? What would people say about her? How would her life have to change? She felt like she'd have to give up things that she thought were fun. To become a follower of Jesus, it was likely that she would lose friends. She didn't want to be lonely. But the turning point came when she heard a Bible talk from a section of the Sermon on the Mount that says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it," verse 14. "But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Whereas previously Nikki had thought it was weird when people wrote down things during Bible talks, she was now the one with the pen out. And she says, "I actually started drawing the narrow gate. And I knew right there my life was at a crossroads. I could carry on down the broad road, living my own way. It actually looked more comfortable, more enjoyable. But I knew that it led to a dark and a fearful place, hell. And the word kept coming up in my mind. And it's not a made-up place, it's real. Or I could choose the very bright and narrow road that led to Christ. He was the one now who made sense of my life. And so there, he was the one who gives me life both today and into eternity. So I followed him." What a transformative story. I love it. It's beautiful, don't you think? How about this Christmas season? Do you want Christ this Christmas? Are you aspiring to live your life down that narrow path? Are you seeking Christ's kingdom? What does your heart really want this Christmas in 2024? I wonder if you might be humble enough to suggest that your heart is like how Larry Crabb puts it, in the Christmas crisis of a child, where you offer a young child the choice of having their daddy present on Christmas morning with no presents, or having their daddy absent and a stack of presents piled up beneath the tree, and the child choosing the gifts. Could your heart this morning admit you want the presence this life offers rather than the presence of God this Christmas? Therefore, over this festive season, and as we head into our theme of 2025, Seek First the Kingdom, let us look together to develop a taste for God and desire for intimacy with him rather than a better life of blessings without him. In closing, during this festive season and new year, will you seek first the kingdom? And do you want, or do you want to remain king of your own life? We're going to pray shortly that our King Christ might soften our hearts. But before we pray, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're going to respond to God's word now by sharing in the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a time for us to reflect on the fact that King Jesus came into this world as a child at Christmas, and he welcomes us, and he welcomed us while we were still sinners. That as Jesus grew up and became a man, and that Easter story when Jesus' body was pierced, the bread reminds us that while we were still sinners, while we were enmity with God, on the throne of our hearts, Jesus laid down his life for us at the cross. His blood would be spilt, so the Jews would remind us that our King gave up his body, shed his blood, so that we might be welcomed as sons and daughters. But this morning, if you find it hard to believe who Jesus is and you're not quite ready to welcome him as King of your life, then just let the bread and the drink pass you by. But if you know that God showed his love to you, that he met you at just the right time when your hearts were hard toward him, when we were proud and defiant, yet also ashamed and broken than eat and drink, knowing that Christ Jesus, our King, knows you and you can know his presence. There is bread and juice that are provided this morning to you, and there's also gluten-free bread and water as an alternative to juice. I'm going to invite Steve Tilley and leadership team to serve.
You take what is and you make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. Ooh, we pray the breeze. Day to life with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nailed it to a tree. Oh, you alone hold the power to redeem. Ooh, no guilt.
Take this bread, remembering from Romans chapter 5, verse 6, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now take the cup, remembering God demonstrates his own love for us in this. while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's talk to God. Father, your Son, Christ, is so glorious and bright and beautiful. Yet each Christmas season, so many in our city of Lismore overlook him. And we too want to confess that we can be dazzled by the blessings of this world, and it can cause us to lose sight of our first love, your Son, Christ. Over this festive season and year, would you draw our hearts to yourself that we might desire your presence rather than presents under our Christmas tree, and that you might bring this world to peace, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.